are you looking to, so you're working with two HWPO athletes, and he asked if you are looking to possibly join up with HWPO.
She just wanted to go to the best team possible. I can't imagine a better team than her and Mal.
So on the stage, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to give a warm Wadapalooza welcome to the daughters, Katrin Davis' daughter, Annie Thor's daughter. The stage is yours. We're going to do a nice little Q&A with them. And so be thinking about your questions because we're going to get into it and we're going to run around with the microphone, but we're going to turn it over to the ladies.
Yep, one quicker. Oh, and Icelandic. I was like, I turned mine on.
Like, did you turn on the microphone? Hey, guys. Thank you so much for being here. So we recently started a podcast, and this is going to be our first live one that we have ever done, which we're really excited about.
Yeah, taking like some Q&As. It won't be that long, but we've been also letting people just ask us questions, what they want to hear more about. And I thought, or we thought it would be fun actually just to only let you guys control this podcast piece. So, yeah, excited. We just got into Miami, like, 2 days ago.
To get some sun. Both of us came from Iceland, so yes. We're both like, oh, this heat.
Loving this. I'm very excited. We'll be competing on a team together tomorrow with Mal. So this is a warm-up. Get us fired up. We're going tomorrow. So, yeah, I think we'll just
Let's get right to it.
You guys. What do you want to know? We're an open book. We literally, that's one of the things that I've always been very honest with everything that I say and tend to maybe I should have a bigger filter, but after we...
I love that about you. It just comes right out.
After we started our podcast, I was like, you know what? People don't want to hear you just being super diplomatic, keeping things back. You need to be able to speak your mind. And then I'm open to hearing. I'm also totally open to letting other people try to change my mind on things. I love hearing different perspectives
on
things.
Yeah, open discussions.
Open discussions. I love open discussions and debates. So, yeah, we're not going to debate on this one, though. So, yes, anyone have anything to get us started? Who wants to be the first one? I love it.
Hold on.
Have you ever dated the same guy?
We have absolutely not dated the same guy.
No. Iceland is small, but we are careful.
And we actually both went outside of Iceland. Yes. I have a Canadian boyfriend, and she has a Danish one. Very, very international.
Next one.
We have one down there.
Hi. Oh, sorry.
Hi.
Hi, guys. So I've always wondered, I mean, you guys obviously have had incredible success. Oh, sorry. Incredible success, but then also, like, you go through difficult times in your careers and trainings. And, you know, thinking about just from a normal CrossFitter perspective, right, you have amazing days, you have difficult days, and it's hard to kind of manage through that. And for you guys, that's, like, multiplied by 1,000, right? Like, huge, huge wins. And then, you know, I mean, obviously, you're on this huge stage, and we're all watching you, and it can be really difficult. Like, how do you, like, mentally manage that, and, like, how do you manage that through your workouts? Like, what's your process of kind of the ups and downs?
Well, I think we might have the same, we might have different, but for me, at least, I know, at least we've always been in this together, so I always have somebody else who's also been at the top of the sport. I know what she's going through too. And both of us have incredible times and both of us have incredibly challenging times. We've had injuries. We've had times where it's more mentally challenging. And I think what I always remind myself is that we're all going through those times. It's very ignorant and unrealistic to expect that. I know even on social, my competitors aren't going to be posting their tough days, their bad lifts, their misses. But to know that they have those days too. And like, for me, I never want to give in to those days. I know they're gonna come, and it's easy for everyone to push on good days. When I'm feeling great, when I'm motivated, when my body's feeling good, when I slept great, when I'm just in like an upswing, yes, it's easy to push hard, to give it 100%. And then on those bad days, those are the ones that I feel like count double. those are the ones that I don't want to give into and I don't want to allow myself to sink into. So even if my 100% that day is 70% of a day that I feel amazing, I want to make sure that I still give that 100% and always practice giving whatever I have to whatever I'm doing. So it's always my best effort no matter what. And literally the bad days count double. Those are the ones where other people don't want to push and other people might give in. And I want to make sure that I don't. I don't give in to those days.
Yeah, I think it's very similar for me. And that's where it comes in. I don't train a lot by myself. I might be doing like not always the same thing as other people at the gym, but I have training partners. And I feel like I'm so fortunate. I'm surrounded by positive training partners. Even if I'm having maybe a rough day, we can pull each other up by being surrounded by good, like-minded people. And usually my toughest days is when my body is aching or something is hurting or my daughter woke up very early or had a rough night or something. I'm like, okay, I need to be smart with my training. And on those days, I make sure that I do something that I will be successful in as well. Then I might do more machine work where just like my mind needs to just go and I can be proud of my effort. And then I might lower my weights and work more in technical things. But I look at each training day as I need to get the most out of my session. Limited time, limited amount of energy, get the most out of everything that I do. I don't like training just to check it out. Like, yes, I did my snatch, I hit my lifts, I did whatever workout I did, but I did it at 50% intensity. I don't like that. I'd rather do fewer intervals and do it at 100% intensity. I'm like all in on the things that I'm doing and rather take something out if that's needed. I hope that answered it. But just know, we all have rough days.
And I think that's just a good thing to remember, that it's you're not getting worse if you have a rough day. And I think even just that mindset shift of it's okay and it's normal, like even an upwards trajectory still has to sound like that's okay. Make sure you maximize those days too. You have a question?
Right now?
Yeah.
Hi, good morning. I know both of you have suffered injuries over your careers, and having suffered a recent injury myself, what goes through your mind, or how do you kind of ground yourself to not, let's say, like overtrain or wanting to like fight the urge to like continue, you know, in essence, working out and training and improving while trying to like make sure you balance the fact that you have to recover from an injury? Because kind of being used to just working out all the time, now when you're injured, like, wait, I have to stop. So what goes through either of your minds to help you kind of recenter and get back into it to make sure you don't overexert yourself or anything like that?
Yeah, I think you learn by going through an injury so much. I have been the one. I had a pretty severe back injury and I did get back into it like a little bit too quickly. So I re-injured it and it taught me, unfortunately, I had to learn the hard way, but I learned to be just more patient. And through every injury, there's still so many things that you can work on. And I feel like when I had my back injury, my conditioning became incredible because as soon as I was able to start biking, dude, I could bike. Like I could work on my lungs and I could work on my mind. I could work so much on my shoulders and my shoulders got very strong. So that became one of my biggest strengths in CrossFit. And just learning to be then patient throughout the process, rather going slower than faster, but knowing that you can always do something. The same, we both had a shoulder injury at the same time. We weren't able to do anything with our upper body for like 2 months. But dude, our legs got really strong. Like in every injury, and I think that's the important part, when you're going through an injury, it's going to be really tough to go to the gym because something is hurting. You're like, what should I do? Am I doing legs again today? And then you need to be careful with not overtraining that body part as well. Like you need to be smart with it. And then it's like, all right, it's a pool day today or whatever it is. But just learning to be patient, learning to know that on those rough days, like when I went through my back injury, I didn't believe that I would ever compete in CrossFit again. Like, I went that far down. But for some reason, like, Frederick, my boyfriend, my parents, they were like, no, we know you're going to be fine. We know you're going to be fine. You just have to work your way through it. And just believing that time heals, hopefully, all wounds. So learning to be patient, listening to your body, adding one thing in at a time, and knowing that it's not the end of the world. Just taking it one day at a time was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. I think one thing that I honestly have never done well is rehabbing an injury well. And I had a herniated disc at the end of 2019. And I just have this, like, we have a strong mind. I've always, since I was a kid, I've had a lot of fortitude. I have a lot of drive. I have big goals that I feel very fortunate. I always have a fire to back up and go for. And I think I had this like plan in my mind of like, I herniated in December and I'm like, okay, I take January off. In February, I want to be doing air squats again. And well, again. And I had all of these plans that my body certainly wasn't keeping up with, if that. And I think I pushed my body too fast. And then I think also that's hard for your mind when you're like, why is my body keeping up? And you're pushing it to do things. So looking back, I do think we need to respect our bodies. And I do think I need to listen better to it, listen to where my body is and work with that. And also from the ground up, realizing, why did I get that injury? You know,
exactly.
Why did I get that? Why did that start coming up and start rehabbing that from the ground up to prevent that moving forward? But then that's also so true. And I'm just going to echo what Annie said, that in every hardship, there is an opportunity. And especially in our sport, like, it's not like we have one thing that we're trying to get good at. We have everything that we're trying to get good at. So when goes wrong, there are 1,000 other things that we can continue to work on. And I think that's what eases up some injuries or like injured times that we've had, that we can always show up, we can always work on something. And I always convince myself that there's something that I got better at today, and that's all we can do. So it might not be maximum, it might not be exactly the plan that you wished for, but as long as you continue building those bricks, making sure that you can walk out and know that I got better at something today, that's a win.
I also think it's important to know, we're almost done answering your question, but what I think is so important for everyone, my parents, my brother, like when they've had their injuries, I truly believe you're going to recover slower if you don't exercise.
Yeah.
So
movement heals.
Yes, exactly. You still need to move. You're still gaining from easy biking, you're still gaining from lunges or step ups with no weight or assisted or whatever it is. It will increase the blood flow, it will help your mind, it will get your body in that rhythm of wanting to heal itself up. Otherwise, so many other things can go wrong and you get stiff and uncomfortable.
And you'll be proud of yourself for showing up.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Next one.
Hi. This is so cool. Okay, so Katrin, you were just talking about how you always have a lot of goals with what you're doing. You guys are both multi-time champions of the CrossFit Games. Annie, you're a mother now. You've written a children's book together. You guys are working together professionally. What's like the number one bucket list in your immediate future for both of you? It can be anything, whether it's sport-driven or not.
Wow, that is a great question.
You're like, that's a simple question. No, man, that's not a simple question.
That might be the biggest question we're getting asked this year.
Yeah.
I think for me, like sports specific, is I haven't had the best couple years, the past couple years. And I really want it for myself to give everything that I have. I want to fill my holes. I want to compete with the fire that I had. And that's something that I'm really searching for myself. It's not for anybody else. It's not to impress anyone. It's not to fulfill yeah, I want to be back on the podium, but that is a very uncontrollable goal. I allow that to pull me. I allow that to, on tough days, that's what I want. When things get tough, that's what I want, and I'm going to do the work, and I'm going to go as hard as I can. But it's an internal fulfillment in competing and competing to my standards and what I believe I'm capable of. And I still believe there's something that I haven't fulfilled, and that's very... It's like an uneasy feeling of feeling like I haven't done that. And I want that, and I want that for myself, what that feels like. And in life, we're so incredibly happy. Like, we have the greatest boyfriends. We have the greatest family. Like, I have the best friend in the entire universe. Like, I am so happy, and I want to give to them. I want to continue to building that. I want to continue expanding those relationships, to continue challenging myself and them. So I know it's a very broad answer, but I just believe that, like, the sport specific, that's for myself, and the rest is what life is about. And it's so incredible. Yeah. And we wouldn't be doing this unless it was with each other, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I think mine is maybe like a little bit different. I don't know exactly what I want, but I have kind of a naive answer maybe to this, but I in some way just want to try to give back. I want to change the world to the better, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly how. But the first step was with a children's book, trying to give back some of the lessons that I've learned and hopefully motivate young kids and make them not afraid to fail. I've failed multiple times in my life, and I think as grown-ups as well, the fear of failing, I want us to stop being afraid of it, because it's a process that we all need to go through to be successful. And there, I want to try to give back in more ways. I think my answer would be super long if I would go into exactly how, but I think we're working our way there. Yeah.
Ala, hi. We coach a lot of like 14, 15, and 16-year-olds from diving and gymnastics, and we're transferring them into CrossFit. We're having a hard time like engaging that intensity. What's the best like way, or like, I mean, they're children, so it's really hard to like convey that level of like, it's going to be hard. You got to go. You can do one more burpee. You can do one more jump over. You can do X, Y, and Z. You won't fail. But it's like, we can never get them to push to the limit that obviously you guys push to. But like, what would your best advice for? I'm shaking. You guys are amazing. I had to say that real quick. Best advice to those young ones that are trying to come up, but are just like missing that intensity a little bit.
I think that maybe having a goal or understanding the reason behind it, I think that's why it's easier for us to push, because we know what we're doing it for, than maybe knowing what they're doing it for. And also, I don't know exactly what kind of conditioning shape they're in. I'm guessing pretty good from swimming. But I think that's hard for... I've seen it with so many people that come to the gym and then they maybe haven't been exercising that much, and they go too fast, too hard, and then they're just suffering for so long. And making sure that they are successful. Yes, they can fail, but let them be successful so that they get motivated and want to continue to show up. Because if it's too hard, it can so easily break you down. Also, just normal people, if you start too hard, then you're not going to want to go back again because it's just too painful. So giving them those successful experiences, and in the end it becomes really painful, but it feels like they're doing it with a bigger purpose, yeah. If that makes sense.
That was going to be my exact answer, is build their confidence. So yeah. Start with something that they're going to be successful at. So if we're doing an EMOM and we just go max out on the echo bike for 1 minute, that the rest of the EMOM isn't, we tipped over. We already redlined. So if you want the intensity, start with 15 seconds on, 45 seconds off. Get them to go hard for the 15 seconds and also learn the appropriate stimulus, you know, to learn how to find their kind of red line and hover there. Because as soon as you tip over, you're not going to be as conscious in the moment. And also start with something, give them a number, time domain that is manageable, that is so that they can walk, feel more confident. They know they can do that. And then once you have that, you can start building on that. Let's say they did 6 calories for that minute. And now they're like, I think I want to try 7 for this minute. Or they were doing 10 per minute, and now they want to start doing the 12. Make sure they get the rest so they can then put the intensity back into it. So there's a lot of ways to build a confidence, get them to be successful, that then they can start internalizing and giving themselves the goal that they want to start beating. I think that's where it starts. You'll get them wanting to do more once they make the decision themselves.
Hi, Annie.
Hi,
Katrin.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. It's incredible to be in your presence and just having you here in Florida with us.
Thank you.
I am inspired by your drive and commitment to your training and then all that you do for your community. How do you know, or how do you decide when to say no to a specific project or a invite? Like, how do you not overwhelm yourself with all of your demands? And when do you know how to say no?
Well, that's something that I'm constantly learning. I think throughout the years, I've gotten a big scope of what events do I want to compete, participating, what events do I want to make appearances at, when do I do photo shoots. I've gotten a lot better at knowing a yes or no for that. And the quick answer for that, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. If I'm fired up and I want to do it so bad, it's awesome, I'm going for it. If it's like a then it's not worth my time. I have other goals and I need to commit to them and I need to give myself the time to recover, be present for those, and optimize what I'm doing. Close picture to, I just recently, we had this discussion. I was in Iceland and I ended up exhausted and it's all awesome. It's because I now live in Idaho, so when I'm home, I want to spend so much time with my family. I want to see every one of my friends, and still I'm not willing to budge off my training regime. So I'm still training in the morning, seeing some of lunch, training in the afternoon, having dinner with somebody. Then my sleep gets off, so my recovery starts getting tired and training. No. Maybe it's back now, I think.
Okay.
But that's something that I'm still just constantly trying to learn is setting those boundaries for my... Is this working? Yeah, setting those boundaries for myself. And it's hard. It is really hard. But I think knowing your priorities, knowing your goals, and knowing that the people closest to you, they support you. They want you to make those decisions for yourself. And that's the funniest thing. Whenever I'm like, I'm with my, especially it's my mom or my sister, Annie, and I'm like, oh my, like I'm exhausted. And they're like, it's okay to say no. Like they want to spend all the time with me or make it easier or maybe come to my place instead of driving somewhere else. So it was a very long-winded answer. So big picture, it's if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. And then I'm still learning my way through the closer one.
Yeah, same. I think I just had to learn that I'm not a bad person for saying no. And I think we all need to realize that if we say yes to too many things, we're also not going to be giving the same way. So knowing where my energy levels are at, I do like looking at, especially if it's event, where can I give the most? Where can I make the biggest difference? And especially after I have my daughter, I try to be away as little as I can. So I prioritize her and time with her. But obviously, I just love seeing and being a part of the community. So I do try to go to the things that I can as long as I have energy for it.
Yeah. And I think something that I've also learned and realized is that if we're not taking care of ourselves, if we're not saying no when we really can't go, we're not going to be the best versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to show up in the way that we want to show up in our relationships with our family, with our friends. So That's been a huge thing.
All right, so we got time for like one or two more. And yep. So we got one right over here.
Hiya. Hi. So with this weekend's competition, obviously, Annie, you're competing with two HWPO athletes. Is that something you're now looking to fall under, the HWPO banner, or training with Matt, etc.?
I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Oh, so what he asked is, so you're working with two HWPO athletes, and he asked if you are looking to possibly join up with HWPO.
She just wanted to go to the best team possible. I can't imagine a better team than her and Mal.
Yeah, I just wanted to compete with Cad. Like, that's been a dream that we compete together. I'm still on the training plan and with Yami, but it doesn't mean that every time Cad comes to Iceland, we try to do the same workouts together, like whether it's training plan or HWPO. Like, I think we get the most out of just working out together. So, no, I'm pretty happy where I am, but I do love being with Cad and Mal.
Hi, Gerard. So happy that I may ask you. So if you think back to the beginning of your career, can you remember which skill was the hardest for you to learn? And how did you approach it, maybe?
Yeah, mine was the muscle up. I had days that I was like, am I physically incapable of doing this movement? Like, is there something wrong with my body? But it was also the most rewarding. Once I remember the first time that I managed to get through and catch myself, I had a permanent smile on my face for like 2 weeks. But there, I'm also do the movement.
I actually think muscle ups the same for me. I did get my very first muscle-ups at the CrossFit Games 2009 when I was competing, and that was such a cool experience. Obviously, it was success because I got my first muscle-up, but at the same time, it's the first time where I wasn't just able to muscle my way through. Like, literally, if I would have just finished that workout, it was like 9 muscle-ups or something. Even if I would have finished last place, I would have podium and been second place overall that year at the game. So that movement, yes, amazing. I got my first muscle up, but it was also, I was unsuccessful. And that movement cost me my podium spot. At the same time, I think it kind of got me into the sport that I loved because it was the first time where I couldn't just figure something out on the spot. But throughout the years, it has been something that always, when it shows up, it gets to me. I get nervous. I get a little bit freaked out.
Oh, shit.
But it is, yeah. But it's still now, like, I also get a little bit excited because I have worked so much on it. And then, for some reason, like, running has just never been my favorite thing to do. I am pretty good at it.
I'm
proud of myself for saying that. I am a good runner.
Yes.
Thank you. Then come competition day, I'm like, holy shit, it's warm outside. I think I'm going to get a heat stroke today. So, like, ever since my heat stroke, like, running has just, like, gotten to me as well. So, like, there are all these mental bridges things, but I do think these challenges have helped me grow the most as well as an athlete.
All right, so we got the last question right here.
There.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
So my question is actually for my little boy, who's a little bit shy.
Hi.
Zachary has been doing CrossFit for 3 years, but he said sometimes he gets a little bit nervous before starting a workout. So do you girls get nervous, and what do you say to yourself before going out into a workout?
Every single
even in training. Yes.
I get nervous because I know what's about to come. I know it's going to be painful, whatever. But at the same time, I think also these nerves are excitement. Like, it's also like butterflies in my stomach. Like, I even if it's like a brutal workout that's on the programming and I look at it, like, I'm thinking about it until I do it. But it's like excitement, nervous at the same time. And I've told myself, when I stop being nervous, I'm gonna quit CrossFit.
Yeah, it means you don't care.
It means that I care. It means that it's getting to affect me emotionally as well. And that's what I love about it. And I also have the biggest smile when I finish, even sometimes in the middle of that workout, because it is hard. And I'm so proud of myself of what I'm doing. And that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I feel like we work really hard in training. And I think the nerves are expectations that you put on yourself that you want to perform to the standard that you know you're capable of. And doing that does mean it's going to be really uncomfortable. You're going to have to, like, once it starts hurting, that's when you have to start digging. That's when you have to start challenging yourself and seeing what you're capable of. And so I try to remind myself of that. I earned the right to be nervous.
Exactly.
And I think there's incitement in that. And I think those nerves can also, when you rise to your own challenge, it is so worth it. Sometimes nerves can actually hinder you, which is, that has also happened, that like with your running or with my muscle ups, that we have told ourselves that we have failed so many times or come up so many times that we're sure that
we tell ourselves the story that will happen again.
And one of the greatest things, this is so basic and so simple, and I was getting really nervous for row workouts for some reason. I felt like I was always coming up short, and I was starting to like feel pressure not breathing. And Matt Fraser, he was like, if you're pulling hard, if you're on the floor after the last interval, you're hitting the stimulus and you're getting better. And I think that's also a thing of like knowing what expectations we're putting on ourselves, knowing that as long as we're giving our best effort, and you can always do that. You can always do what you're capable of. You don't have to go faster than that person or that person, but as long as you, can do that.
And just so you know, I'm super nervous about tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
But I'm also like so freaking excited. Like, it's my body getting ready.
All right. So thank you guys all for coming out and joining.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for coming out. This means so much to
us. This was really fun. I could stay here for hours.